Airlines are making a comeback, but not everywhere. An industry analyst says the airlines' oil price nightmares could return. And a Norwegian scientist has a new weapon against volcanic ash. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 10th, 2010. The CEO of the International Air Transport Association spoke Monday to the World Air Transport Summit and IATA General Meeting in Berlin, Germany. Giovanni Bisignani predicted that the worldwide airline industry will see an overall profit of $2.5 billion in 2010, but the upturn will not be enjoyed equally in all regions. He says profits in the Asia-Pacific region will lead the world at $2.2 billion, followed by the U.S. at $1.9, but Europe's weak economy will result in a loss of $2.8 billion there. Bisignani added that there is still excess capacity and cautioned airlines to focus less on market share and more on profitability. He also warned, quote, labor out of touch with reality is the next risk. We cannot pay salary increases with our $47 billion in losses. Pilots and crew must come down to earth, and strikes at this time are short-sighted nonsense. Labor needs to stop picketing and cooperate, unquote. Bisignani said that while taxes and volatility in oil prices remain risks, he is hopeful for the industry's future. The Frost & Sullivan consulting firm isn't so sure. An analyst there writes that the Obama administration could move to tighten drilling regulations, contributing to an oil shortage between 2016 and 2018, driving fuel costs above $100 a barrel. With fuel representing about 40% of airline costs, the effect could be similar to what happened in 2007 and 2008. There's agreement on at least one point between Frost and IATA. The analyst notes attempts by the airlines to control non-fuel costs will face resistance from labor unions. About 230 Swedish airline pilots reportedly walked off the job Monday in a protest against plans by four regional airlines there to hire freelance pilots, which circumvents work agreements. The limited strike was only called for 3 days, but could be expanded to include international and charter flights if negotiations fail. The airlines affected so far are Avia Express, Avitrans Nordic, Golden Air, and Svenska Direktflyg. A mediator reportedly proposed to cut pilots' pay by 15 to 20% and increase the work week to 47.5 hours. The Swedish English language news service The Local reports that Avia Express has fired all 80 of its pilots effective July 17th and is looking to hire replacements. More innovative ideas are seeing the light of day as airlines search for ways to function around volcanic ash clouds. The British discount airline EasyJet says it will test a new technology called AVOID, an acronym for Airborne Volcanic Object Identifier and Detector. The system is described simply as an infrared radar system, which can allow pilots to see volcanic ash in their paths from up to 100 kilometers away at altitudes between 5,000 and 50,000 feet. Dr. Fred Prata of the Norwegian Institute for Air Research is credited with the invention. By networking the data coming back from many airliners at once, a regional plot could be made of where ash was actually a threat, avoiding the economically disastrous closing of airspace based on forecasts which turn out to be overly pessimistic. The first test flight is to be carried out by Airbus on behalf of EasyJet within 2 months, using an A340. Up next on ANN, another loophole has been found in manufacturer liability limits. Boeing gets closer to delivery of the first 747-8 freighter. And Airbus lands another big, make that super jumbo order. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 10th. I'm Paul Plack. The General Aviation Recovery Act of 1994 brought GA aircraft manufacturing in the U.S. back from death's door, limiting manufacturer liability on aircraft older than 18 years. But in the years since, it's proven to be less than perfect. In 2000, the Federal Ninth Circuit Court ruled that an aircraft's flight manual is part of the aircraft, meaning that revisions to the manual reset the 18-year clock. The upside was that the manual itself could not be a source of liability issues after 18 years. Now, a California case has resulted in a ruling that the maintenance manual for an aircraft, because it's not required to be carried in flight and may cover multiple models, is not part of the aircraft, meaning its liability has no life limit. Alika Rogers survived the crash of a 52-year-old Bell 47 in 2005. She wants to sue Bell, claiming that the maintenance manual, last revised in 1975, had outdated instructions for balancing the blades of the tail rotor. Courthouse News Service reports a trial court had initially agreed with Bell, which held that the manual is part of the aircraft. The Third Court of Appeal in Sacramento has overturned it. That's a state court, so Bell may still have federal appeal avenues. Rogers is seeking unspecified damages from Bell. The first Boeing 747-8 freighter painted in customer livery emerged Monday from the Boeing paint hangar in Everett, Washington. The plane sports an updated livery for launch customer Cargolux. The Luxembourg-based operator has a total of 13 Boeing 747-8 freighters on order. Boeing says the first one will be delivered in the fourth quarter of this year. The ILA Berlin Air Show is underway, celebrating its centennial, and one major announcement saved for the show is another big purchase of Airbus A380s. Emirates, one of the plane's launch customers, has ordered another 32 of the Super Jumbos, bringing its total A380 orders to date to 90. The deal comes right on the heels of Airbus's announcement of the delivery of the 30th A380, made to Emirates and on display at the show, and a fresh projection that it will deliver at least 20 of the big planes this year. Talk about adding insult to injury. After a weekend of vigorous denials, the Russian government admitted that four guards assigned to safeguard the wreckage of that Polish Tupolev, which went down, killing 96 people, including Poland's president, took bank cards belonging to the victims and used them to withdraw funds from their accounts. The New York Times reports the four have been arrested and charged with theft by an organized group. A total of about $1,900 is said to have been stolen. Both Polish and Russian officials are taking credit for uncovering the theft. The Russian government has pledged to pay the money back. Still ahead, the FAA relents on relocating the Boise Tracon. Bill Nye, the science guy, has a new gig. And the ISS could soon find its neighborhood rezoned commercial. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 10th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA reportedly has abandoned, for now, plans to consolidate the Boise, Idaho Tracon into Salt Lake City. The move was supposed to save money, but NATCA, the controllers union, had fought the move, and Boise Mayor David Beter protested the loss of local jobs, which is, of course, the purpose of ATC facilities. Idaho's bipartisan congressional delegation managed to attach an amendment to House FAA reauthorization, which would prohibit the Tracon move without approval from the Air Traffic Modernization Board, and would require the FAA to work with NATCA on any ATC relocation plan. I'm starting to understand why it's taking years to get the FAA reauthorization bills passed. Bill Nye, the same one known to millions of TV viewers as the Science Guy, is about to become the new executive director of the Planetary Society. Louis Friedman, co-founder and executive director since the organization began 30 years ago, is stepping down in September but will remain closely involved. He said of his replacement, quote, "We are very excited that Bill is taking this position. He'll do a terrific job directing the Planetary Society into the future, and I look forward to seeing where he will lead the organization that I was privileged to serve for so long," unquote. Nye is a charter member of the Society, has been a director for more than a decade, and its vice president since 2005. Heidi Hamel, senior research scientist and co-director of research at the Space Science Institute in Boulder, Colorado, will replace Nye as vice president when he moves up. And finally today, the blossoming of commercial space exploration may soon give the International Space Station some company in orbit around the Earth. Bigelow Aerospace says it's developing what it expects to be the first commercial space station, built of layers of an expandable Kevlar-like material, with the outer layer coated with a micrometeoroid and orbital debris shield. Company founder Robert T. Bigelow, who earned his fortune in real estate, hopes to have paying customers aboard the Sundancer space station in 5 years. The New York Times reports the company has plans to buy as many as 20 commercial launches from private firms to deploy and connect a series of the watermelon-shaped pods. The station would accommodate as many as 36 guests at a time. Oh man, this sounds like the basis for a really bad reality TV show. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the third and final segment of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's Q&A with reporters following last Friday's successful launch of the Falcon 9. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.